This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته everyone.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
ما شاء الله تبارك الله. Welcome everyone to week one of our Ramadan series question and answer time, a program which is part of the Young Learners Hub, especially for you all this Ramadan to answer the special questions that you have regarding Ramadan or regarding any other Islamic question that has been moving around in your young minds. MashaAllah, I received so many questions yesterday via the question link, and we tried to pick as many questions as we could have, making sure that we removed all repetitions. And also we tried to look at questioners from different countries to make it fair to everyone. We will try and answer as many questions as we can today. But if we don't manage to, then please don't be sad, because there will be other opportunities, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So once again, welcome to the Young Learners Hub, our opportunities to build Jannah together, and especially in the month of Ramadan. And Jazakallah for your wonderful messages. I can see them up on the screen in front of me. To Aisha, mashallah, may Allah love you as well. And thank you for your beautiful message saying that you love me for the sake of Allah. And to everyone who's writing in, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. Very quickly, some special welcomes. We have Humaira Hazi, who's 7 years old from Dewsbury. And Jazakallah khair, Humaira, for your letter and letting us know that Ahmed wasn't on fire yesterday. Ahmed, they need to hear your voice some more. Also, we have Asia, Kaisa, and Musa, who insisted on joining in the live session yesterday, even though Musa wasn't well. May Allah grant you cure, Musa. Grant, make you better. Ameen. Say ameen.
Ameen.
And mashallah, may Allah reward you for being such a diligent student of the Young Learners Hub. It was really heartwarming to learn that, subhanAllah, even though you were not well, you insisted and made sure that you attended the lesson. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you and grant you cure and bless you and bless your family. So a special welcome to Asia and Musa. And also another special welcome is extended to Saliha, who is 10 years old, and Hidayah, who is 7 years old, from Australia. Then we have Rania, who is 5, from Yemen, but living in London. Welcome, Rania. Zainab, who's 7, from Estonia. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Welcome, Zainab. A special welcome to you. And then finally, we have Fatima, who's 9, and Zainab, who's 7, from Riyadh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all and welcome. And also, a special welcome, as always, to you all. Now, yesterday, alhamdulillah, we completed our first tafsir lesson, and it was related to Suratul Kafirun. And inshallah, next Saturday, we will have our second tafsir session for the month of Ramadan, and that session is dedicated to Suratul Ikhlas, Qul Huwallahu Ahad. Somebody asked, what are the four quls? The four quls are Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Falaq, and Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbin Nas. These are the four quls. And remember, we said that we will be having a quiz at the end of the month, and the questions in the quiz will cover all four lessons, inshallah, all four surahs. So be sure to keep your notes handy, right, Khadija?
Yes.
Keep your notes handy and revise your notes weekly, inshallah. All right. Now, with regards to the questions that came in over the course of yesterday, let's go through them very quickly, inshallah. So firstly, we have a question from Zakaria Wadud, who is 6 years old from England. MashaAllah. Welcome, Zakaria. And Zakaria is saying, when Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did he come in the form of an angel, or did he come in the form of a man or any other form? I gave you the answer in reading your question. Zakaria is saying, did he come in the form of an angel or in another form? When we look at the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his original form. His original form. And he's a mighty, mighty, gigantic, big angel, subhanallah. Right? We are taught that Jibreel alayhi salam, he has 600 wings. Each wing covers the entire horizon. If he opens one wing, you won't see anything else. That's how massive his wings are. How many wings, Khadija? 600. 600 wings. And in a narration that we find in the Sunnah from the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the wings of Jibreel, jewels and pearls and rubies are falling. Subhanallah. Rubies are special stones. Very expensive and very beautiful. Inshallah, Mama, Mommy will teach you about rubies after the lesson, inshallah. Okay, then she can explain to you exactly what rubies are, because girls know best what rubies are. Okay, so mashallah, that's how beautiful Jibreel is. So he would come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this form, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw him, all right? And we know that he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam when the Quran came down in the cave of Hira. Remember, we discussed this when we discussed Ramadan week, and we also discussed how Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam during the night of Isra and Mi'raj, because they traveled together to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heavens. They traveled to the heavens together. But also we are taught from the Sunnah that Jibreel alayhi salam sometimes used to come in the form of a man. In the form of a man.
Which man?
He used to look like a man. He used to come in the form of a very handsome man.
How did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam know that was Jibreel?
Ahmed is saying, how did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam know that it was Jibreel? He knew, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him, and he could tell that this is Jibreel, right? Because even though Jibreel came in the form of a man, he came in the form of a special man, very handsome, very neat, very clean. And no doubt the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam knew Jibreel, so he would recognize him, right? And he was taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would teach him that this is Jibreel coming to you in the form of a man. And we know that once Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the form of a man, when all the Sahaba were present, they were in the masjid, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was teaching them. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu says, إِذْ دَخَلَ عَلَيْنَا رَجُلْ شَدِيدُ بَيَاضِ الثِّيَابِ شَدِيدُ سَوَادِ الشِّعَرِ لَا يُرَى مِنْهُ أَثَرُ السَّفَرِ وَلَا يَعْرِفُهُ مِنَّا أَحَدٍ حتى جلس عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأسند ركبتيه إلى ركبتي ووضع كفيه على فخذي وقال يا محمد أخبرني عن الإسلام.
What does that mean?
نعم, Khadija is asking a very good question. What does that mean? Khadija is saying, I speak English. What does that mean? Well, one day the Sahaba was sitting with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and then this handsome man walked into the masjid. And his clothes were super white and super clean. Amazing. And his beard, his hair was super black. Super amazing. And all the Sahaba looked at him and said, who is this? Because Medina was small. Everyone knew who everyone was. But no one knew who this person was. And if he was a guest in someone's house, then someone there would have known and said, oh no, this is my guest. This is who he is. But everyone looked at each other and everyone said, we don't know who he is. Now, there were no hotels in Medina like we have today. So if someone came from outside of Medina into Medina, they wouldn't have a hotel to go to bath and freshen up and iron their clothes and take off the nice clean clothes and remove all the dust of the desert from their beard and their hair. When you travel in the desert, the dust goes in your beard and it goes in your hair. So you can tell that this person is not from Medina, he's come from outside. You can see he's got the signs of travel. But the Sahaba said, we looked at him, we didn't know who he was, no one knew who he was. Then we said, can we see signs of travel? No signs of travel. Subhanallah. Then he walks into the masjid and he goes through everyone right up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting like how I'm sitting, with his hands on his thighs. Okay? Right, so he was sitting on his knees with his hands on his thighs. So Jibreel came and sat in the same way. He put his knees by the knees of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He came and sat in front of him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting here, and Jibreel came and put his knees here, and he also put his hands on his thighs, like how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting.
Why do they both want to do the same thing?
Jibreel was copying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because you should learn from your teachers. Your teachers know good things and they teach you good things, so you respect your teacher by also sitting how your teacher sits.
But not how your bad friends tell you.
Yes, you mustn't sit how your bad friends tell you. Correct here, Khadija. Well done. So Jibreel then sat like that, and Jibreel asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell me about Islam. What is Islam? Tell me about it. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered. Then he said, tell me about Iman. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered. Then he said, tell me about Ihsan. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered. Then he says, tell me about the Day of Judgment. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who is answering is the same like the one who is asking the question. We both don't know when the Day of Judgment is going to be. So Jibreel said, okay, tell me some of the signs when the Day of Judgment is going to come. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said some signs. Then Jibreel sat a little bit, and then Jibreel left.
Why?
He went back. And the Sahaba was surprised. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the Sahaba, do you know who that was? They said, Allah and His Rasul know best. We don't know. He said, that was Jibreel. Came in the form of a man, that was Jibreel, and he came to teach you your religion. So I hope that answers the question. Zakaria Wadud from the UK. Zakaria 6, thank you for your nice question. I hope that answers the question that sometimes Jibreel will come in the form of an angel, and sometimes he'll come in the form of a man, and sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will just hear his voice. Okay? Second question is from Shimla, who's 10 years old, also from England. She says, are you allowed to play with a cousin who is a girl? Yes, you can play with a cousin who is a girl. On condition, of course, that that cousin doesn't teach you bad things. That cousin teaches you good things. If that cousin teaches you good things, then yes, you must play with your girl cousins. We said yesterday that boy cousins can play with boy cousins, and girl cousins can play with girl cousins, as long as they play together doing things that makes Allah happy. Doesn't make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala angry. Okay. Next question is from Miqdad Abu Bakr, who is 11, from Nigeria. Welcome, Miqdad. Can Muslims eat aquatic animals?
What's aquatic animals?
Seafood. I think Miqdad means, can Muslims eat seafood? Like, and the general, like fish, right? Like fish.
Like stingrays.
Stingrays? Where did you learn that from, Khadija? Stingrays? Mashallah. All right. But that is an example of seafood. Well done. So Miqdad is asking, can we eat seafood? The general answer is yes, we can eat seafood. However, there's some exceptions, like crocodiles, for example. The scholars say we can't eat crocodiles. Right, the scholars of Islam, or at least the majority of them, they say we can't eat crocodiles because they live on land and sea and they have fangs. For example, frogs. You can't eat frogs because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade us from killing frogs. We're not allowed to kill frogs. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't kill the frogs. Okay, so frogs we can't eat. And then we have some animals that can live in the water and the sea, like for example, turtles, for example. So scholars say, before you eat a turtle, it's safer for you to slaughter it. Why? Because it lives on land and it also lives in the sea. It can come out from the water, right? So the best way to answer this question is for us to say that in general, we can eat seafood. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said we can, but there are some exceptions. And what you should do, young questioner, young Miqdad, is you should visit your local sheikh, okay, and ask him for the exceptions. Say, Sheikh Sajid said, we can eat seafood, but there's some exceptions, and he told me to come and ask you, what are those exceptions? What are the things that we can't eat from the sea animals, or which seafood can't we eat? Okay, Miqdad? So please do that for me, and you can write to me and let me know what your Sheikh said. Then we have Safiya Miftah, who's 9 years old, from Algeria. And Safiya says, how many people were in the room when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on his deathbed? That's a very deep question, ya Safiya from Algeria. The reality is, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was sick for a long time before he passed away. So he was in his house on his bed for a long time, and many people visited the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't know the exact number, but many people did, from them Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, from them Umar radiallahu anhu, from them Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhum ajma'in, and many other Sahaba. Okay? But when the Prophet ﷺ passed away, if that's what you're referring to, when he actually passed away, then we know that Aisha radiallahu anha was in the room, and the hadith says that the head of the Prophet ﷺ was resting on her lap. So she was definitely in the room. Some narrations teach us that her brother also was in the room, Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr. He was also in the room, because in this narration it is said that he came into the room with a miswak. Do you know what a miswak is?
Yes, you play with it.
A miswak is, we use it to clean our teeth, isn't it?
Yes.
The wooden miswak, right? Yes. It's like a toothbrush, but it's from a tree, right? So he came into the room, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw the miswak, and they could see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted it, so he broke it and he prepared it, and then he put it in the mouth, or they put it in the mouth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used it, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said ila rafiq al a'la, to the companions, the elevated companions, and he passed away. Right? So based on this narration, it can be understood that also her brother, Aisha radiallahu anha's brother, Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr, was also in the room. Thank you for that question. May Allah bless you, Ya Safiya, from Algeria. All right, next question comes from Zaid Ahmed, who is 6 years old from England. Did Surah Kafirun come bit by bit, or as one whole surah? Well, when we look into the books of Tafsir, Ya Zaid, we see that Surah Al-Kafirun came as one whole surah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. When we look into the different books of Tafsir, remember we said Tafsir refers to the science or the knowledge which explains the Quran. And the books of Tafsir refers to the books that has the knowledge inside which explains the Quran. Right, Abdullah?
Yes.
All right. So if we look into the books of Tafsir, we understand that Surah Al-Kafirun came in one chunk because of the reason that I told you about yesterday. The Quraysh came and said, let's make a deal. One year, isn't it? 1 year we worship Allah, 1 year you worship our idols. And which idols in particular? Al-Lat wal-Uzza. Right? These were two very famous idols of the Quraysh. So they said, 1 year we worship Allah and 1 year you worship Al-Lat wal-Uzza. So Allah revealed Surah Al-Kafirun in its completion, and Allah knows best. Yusra Jama from Somalia, mashallah, tabarakallah. Welcome, Yusra. She says, what does culture mean? And are nasheeds halal? Well, culture refers to the social behavior of a group of people. What do I mean by social behavior? How people speak, how they act, how they do certain things, how they get married, the foods that they eat, right? We know that people from Western cultures, their food's different. When we compare those foods to people from Eastern cultures, for example, right? People from India have a lot of spices in their food. Their culture is to have food with spice, which is different to people in the West. Although now we have globalization and the internet, and everyone can see what everyone is eating, and everyone's through exports and imports, everybody's spices and everyone's unique foods are present in every country. You can find restaurants from Italy present in Saudi Arabia, for example, right? So due to globalization, everyone's cultures are becoming mixed. But generally, cultures refer to these things. How people, through generations, have become accustomed to doing something. They do it in a particular way. Some people's culture is to sit on the floor and eat. Some people's culture is to sit on the table. Some people's culture is to eat with their hands. Some people's culture is to use a fork or a knife or a spoon, right? Some people's culture is to kiss their parents on their head, for example, every morning and every night. Some people's culture, it's not like that. So this is what culture refers to, okay? But with regards to Islam and being Muslims, if the culture tells us to do something that Allah told us not to do, we don't do it. We leave the culture and we follow the sunnah, okay? Right? But if the culture doesn't make us do something that goes against Islam, then it's okay to do it. So for example, if the culture says, during weddings, boys, girls should mix together and everyone should be dancing and holding hands and singing. We say, hold on. Let's see what Islam says. And Islam says, no, there should be segregation. We shouldn't have intermingling between the men and the women. So we follow what Islam says and we leave the culture. Are you with me?
Yes.
Abdullah and Ahmed are fasting today. And I can see they're feeling the fast. For you. So we follow the Quran and Sunnah and we leave the culture. All right. Now the second question that was asked is from Yusra. Are nasheeds halal? Nasheeds are halal. Nasheeds are halal on condition the words of the nasheed are good. And on condition there's no musical instruments. Nowadays we have nasheed and mashallah there's guitar. Oh, we shouldn't say mashallah. There's guitar, there's piano, there's the flute. No, those nasheeds, you can't listen to them. Okay, so you can listen to nasheeds as long as it's voice based and the words are good. And if there's a doof is a type of drum. It's not a drum. It's a type of drum. It's made out of wood and it has animal skin on top of it. And then you hit it and it makes a sound. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed the doof. But even the doof, he didn't say you can hit it in a way that makes people feel like they want to dance. Huh? Like doof, doof, doof. No, it can't be like that, right? It should be done in a way whereby the sound is there, but it doesn't make people feel like they want to do haram things, right? Because girls mustn't dance in front of boys mustn't dance in front of girls. If girls are together and they do a small dance, it's not a dance that shows them to be crazy, right? Then this is okay. And if boys are together and they do, you know, slight movements, right? And there's no musical instruments, right? Like people sometimes do at weddings, and their dancing is not crazy, then this is okay. But Allah doesn't like it. We learned this from the Sunnah, the dancing that we find on TV today and some of the music channels. This dancing is not allowed. Okay, so nasheeds are allowed if there's a doof and if the words are good, right? But if there's musical instruments, is it allowed?
No.
No. Now also today we have something called beatboxing. And in beatboxing, people make sounds with their mouth, right? And then different people come together and they make different sounds. And when the sounds mix together, it actually sounds like musical instruments. Like the real musical instrument. Like real drums with real bass and real treble. Is this allowed?
No.
This is not allowed. Right? This isn't allowed. This isn't allowed. Okay? If someone might say, but I'm not using a guitar, I'm not using a piano. We say, yeah, but you're making sounds with your mouth together that makes someone feel as if there is a guitar, as if there is a piano, as if there are drums. You can't trick the Sharia. You can't say, I'm going to trick the Sharia. I won't come with the piano, but we'll make the same sounds like the piano. You say, no, the Sharia doesn't want you to make sounds like the piano or the drums or the flute or the violin or any other musical instrument for a reason. So you can't trick the Sharia and come and do it in some other way. Some people use computers to generate sounds and they say, look, no piano. The computer is making a sound. But we say, is the sound the same as the piano? Yes or no? If no, then it's allowed. If yes, then it's not allowed. Okay? So please take care of this. In summary, we can listen to nasheeds as long as there's no musical instruments or sounds that are exactly like musical instruments, and as long as the words are good and permissible. There's no bad teachings in them. There's no bad words in them. All right. The next question is from Ayan Ahsan, who's 11 from Spain. Welcome, Ayan. And Ayan says, why do we need more than one house in Jannah? All right, that surprised me, Ayan. Why do we need more than one house in Jannah? Let me think. Because Ayan is saying, if I have one big house, why do I need more than one house? Right? So it's as if Ayan is saying that, why do I have to pray my sunnah salah every day? I pray one day, I get one house, then it's enough. Right? All the other days, khalas. Ayan, if I told you that I'll give you a football and a cricket bat and an Xbox and chocolate ice cream, vanilla ice cream. Okay, let me not say ice cream. People are fasting here. Right? You're right? Yesterday, one of the uncles... there's some uncles who are watching Young Learners Hub as well. And they wrote to me and said, Sheikh, you're mentioning water, you're mentioning cakes, this is too much, we're fasting. Alright? Alright, so if I offered you all these things, will you take one thing or you'll say, I want all of it?
All of it.
You want all of it, right? So why do you only want one house in Jannah when Allah is offering you different houses? Every house is going to be different. Every house will be different. Some houses will have tennis courts, some houses will have swimming pools, some houses will have jacuzzi, some houses will... Whatever you dream, different houses will have different things.
And if you have Jannah, if you want to have a dog in the Jannah.
Oh, Khadija really, really likes puppies. So she keeps asking me that, Baba, can I have a puppy in Jannah? And the general rule is in Jannah, you can have whatever you wish for. But the question is, will we wish for puppies in Jannah? We don't know. Jannah is a different place. Jannah is not like this world. In this world, we live our life and it's different. In Jannah, it's going to be different. There's some things we want here right now, but when we go to Jannah, we won't want them. We won't even think about them. So we don't know if you're going to think about having a puppy in Jannah. But if you do, then Allah says He's going to give you whatever you wish for, okay?
But even if you want a cat.
Even if you want a cat. Yes, you're right, Khadija. Yes, you're right, Khadija. All right. So, mashallah, Khadija, she tells me in her Jannah, there's going to be killer whales. There's going to be horses. Yeah, inshallah, there's going to be killer whales as well, inshallah. Whatever you wish for, okay? Mashallah. Okay, thank you, mashallah. Ayan, that question shocked me, Ayan, all the way from Spain. Nice question, Ayan. I hope you got the answer, right? Allah wants to give us so many presents, so keep on building houses every day because every house is going to be different. Fatima, who is 11 from England, says, will Allah punish me if I do a bad deed? And then I'm sad about doing the bad deed. But before I ask Allah to forgive me, I pass away. Oh, subhanAllah, Fatima. That's a deep question, Fatima, from England. And the answer to that question, Fatima, is that yes, Allah will forgive you, inshaAllah. Because Allah knows what's in your heart. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Adnadamu tawbah." If you feel regret, then this is a type of asking Allah for forgiveness. Okay? So if you do something wrong and you feel hurt in your heart and you feel sad and you feel sorry, and you before you ask Allah to forgive you, you pass away, don't worry, inshallah, you will be forgiven. Allah is the most merciful and we never restrict Allah's mercy. We always make it bigger and bigger, right? Because Allah's mercy is vast. So we say, inshallah, Allah will forgive you. But remember, Huda, mashallah, you've written so many times, I love you, Sheikh Sajid Omar. Huda, I love you also. May Allah bless you, Ya Huda. Mashallah. May Allah bless you and may we meet one day, Ya Huda. Ameen. As I was saying, remember that if you do a bad deed and it's between you and Allah and you feel sad and you ask Allah to forgive you, Allah will forgive you. But if you hurt somebody else, you make someone else sad. If you make someone else sad, then Allah will only forgive you if that other person forgives you. Okay? So remember that, okay? So try your best never ever to hurt somebody, hurt someone, make them sad, okay? But as long as it's between you and Allah and you feel sad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you if you feel regret in your heart before you get a chance to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. All right? Thank you for that question, Fatima. That was a very deep question. Well done. Dawood Wadood, 10 years old from England as well. When Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during Ramadan, did they read the whole Quran in one sitting or did they pray little bits every day? Well, what we understand is that they prayed little bits every day. That's what we understand. Okay? They revised the Quran over Ramadan. And in the last Ramadan, they revised it twice. So we understand that it happened in bits every day and Allah knows best. Fatima Tawfiq, who's 12 years old from India. Welcome, Fatima. She says, since your wishes always get answered in Jannah, can you ask Allah to make a non-Muslim who was a very good friend of yours come to Jannah to be with you? May Allah bless you, Fatima, and may Allah bless your heart and keep your heart beautiful. It's a very beautiful question and it shows what a beautiful heart you have. And the answer to that question is, in Jannah, you can have whatever you want as long as Allah said you can't have it. Okay? So Allah said, whoever doesn't die as a Muslim, then they will be in the hellfire forever. So this is something that Allah said, which means that we can't ask for someone who passed away as a non-Muslim to be put in Jannah because Allah said He won't do that. And why did Allah say He won't do that? Allah said because it's not fair. Jannah is for the people who believed in Allah when they lived on earth. Is it fair that Allah puts the person who didn't believe in Allah also in Jannah?
No.
You say it's not fair, right? Allah is fair and Allah is just. He gives everyone the chance to go to Jannah. But then they need to decide for themselves, do they want to go to Jannah or don't they want to go to Jannah? If they want to go to Jannah, they must become Muslims, okay? So in Jannah, you'll have whatever you want, except that which Allah said you can't have. Alright, time is running out very quickly. Nusayba from India, who's 8 years old, says, we learnt in the previous series that the gates of Jannah open when we say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah after performing wudu. And you also taught us that in Ramadan, the gates of Jannah are open. This is a good question. Listen to this. So does that mean In Ramadan, we don't have to say Ashhadu an la.
Good question.
Good question. Abdullah and Ahmed and Khadija, they did a thumbs up. They said, good question from Nusaybah. Nusaybah is saying the gates of Jannah are already open in Ramadan. So do we have to say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah when the gates are already open? And the answer to that question is yes. Because you also get rewards when you do it. The rewards are the size of the gates of Jannah being opened. So even though the gates of Jannah are open, you should still do it so you still get the rewards which are the size of the gates of Jannah being open. Okay, Nusaybah, well done. All right, excellent. Salman from Nigeria. What is the difference between Qiyamul Layl, Tahajjud and Taraweeh? Very good question, Salman, who is 10 years old from Nigeria. Qiyamul Layl refers to the night prayer. Any prayer you pray at night is called Qiyamul Layl. Even Salatul Isha, you pray it at night, it's called Qiyamul Layl. So any standing that you do at night to worship Allah is known as Qiyamul Layl. But then we have Tahajjud. Tahajjud is the Qiyamul Layl that you do when you sleep and then you wake up. That's called Tahajjud Qiyamul Layl. Okay, if I can make it easier. Tahajjud Qiyamul Layl. It's called Tahajjud, but it's part of Qiyamul Layl. Okay, so it's like you have a bucket and that bucket is called Qiyamul Layl. And in the bucket you have Taraweeh, and in the bucket you have Tahajjud. So Taraweeh and Tahajjud is part of the bucket called Qiyamul Layl. But when do you call it Tahajjud? You call it Tahajjud when you go to sleep and you wake up. Why? Because it's hard. When you're sleeping, you're sleepy. And then you have to wake up. So it needs juhud, it needs effort. And Tahajjud refers to Salah that you do when you make an effort. Okay? What is Taraweeh? Taraweeh is the Qiyamul Layl that we do in the month of Ramadan. Tayyib, we have a question here from As'ad, who's 6 years old from England. Did Allah create the dinosaurs?
Yes.
And did the dinosaurs exist? Well, the Quran doesn't tell us whether dinosaurs existed or didn't exist, which means if the Quran doesn't say yes or no, we look at other evidences. And other evidences, for example, experience. And through experience, we know that there were dinosaurs because through fossils, right, Abdullah?
Yes.
Through fossils, we know that dinosaurs did exist and they were big. So from a Muslim perspective, we say that yes, dinosaurs did exist. Because Allah didn't tell us in the Quran that they did exist or they didn't exist. But Allah told us in the Quran that He created different things and some things that we don't even know. So, وَيَخْلُقُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ As Allah says, as Abdullah is telling us, Allah says in the Quran, Allah says we created that which you don't even know. So we can say that this ayah includes dinosaurs. This ayah includes dinosaurs. Okay, but were the dinosaurs big? Well, yes, dinosaurs are known as terrible lizards. That's what dinosaur means, right, Ahmed? Terrible lizards, right? Abdullah and Ahmed teach me all these things. When they read their books, they come teach me. So that's how I learn. I learn from them, right? These dinosaurs, or dinosaur means terrible lizard, they were big, they were massive, and they lived around 220 million years ago.
How long, right? How much could they bite?
How much could they bite? Different dinosaurs used to bite different things. Mm-hmm. Abdullah can teach you, okay? So, they were massive, but do you know that even Adam alayhi salam was massive? Adam alayhi salam, our father, was so big that his thobe was as big as a football pitch. Ahmed laughing. Why are you laughing, Ahmed?
I don't know why they laughing.
Huh?
Bicycle.
All right, Ahmed is remembering a joke. So Adam alayhi salam was so big, so massive, mashallah, that some people tried to make his shirt, his thobe. And by looking at the different things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us in the Quran and the Sunnah. And when they made the thobe, it was big as a football pitch. And I know everyone knows how big a football pitch is because I can see Manchester City and Manchester United and Liverpool popping up there in the comment box. It was as big as a football pitch. Imagine if you are wearing a shirt that was as big as a football pitch. How big were you? Subhanallah. So Adam alayhi salam was massive, so it's not strange that we had dinosaurs that were big. One last question very quickly, and this is from Amal, who's 11 from England. She says, my mama, I think that means my uncle, says pray 4 sunnah before the farad of dhuhr, then 2. But my daddy says it's two before and two after. Similarly in Isha, my mama says two after Farad. But my dad says two before and two after. I know it's 12, but can you please tell me how does this go? MashaAllah, MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Amal, you have a lot of sheikhs in your house. MashaAllah. A lot of sheikhs there, Amal. You're very lucky. But thank you for asking your question, and may Allah bless your mama and bless your dad. The answer to that question is found in the hadith of Habiba radiallahu anha. She says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that a house will be built in Jannah for the one who prays 12 sunnah prayers in their day and their night. And they are as follows: 4 raka'at before dhuhr and 2 raka'at after dhuhr, and then 2 raka'at after maghrib, and 2 raka'at after isha, and 2 raka'at after fajr. I hope that answers the question, young Amal. And that brings us to the end of today's program. Inshallah, I will see you next Saturday for the tafsir lesson at 12 p.m. UK time. I really had fun answering your questions, and I will see you again next Sunday for part 2 of our Q&A program. Don't forget to like the episode, share the episode, subscribe to the channel. I really love building Jannah with you all, and I know Ahmed and Abdullah and Khadija feel the same. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.